Hey gang, welcome to the show. Welcome to National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. Some people go there for the headlines and the news stories. Other people go there to click on the donate button and send shekels. Also, nationalbugle.com. Some people go there for the headlines. Actually, that is the your number one news amalgamation site. If you are going to the Drudge Report, forget it. Forget about it. Forget about it. Go to nationalbugle.com. This is where Mark Dankoff in particular and myself, we post headlines on important topics by interesting and often trustworthy sources. You want to go there, and you also want to download the Koshertified app. You'll find the link at nationalbugle.com. Okay, so today what I have for you is it winds up being kind of an interview I did with Jesse Lee Peterson a few weeks back. But it's not, it's okay. It's, I've been saving it for a while. It was actually from Mark Collett's podcast, one of his weekly podcasts, but I wound up jumping in and interviewing Jesse Lee Peterson because I think he's very interesting. If you're not familiar with him, he is a African-American gentleman. He is of a generation that is, I don't know how old he is, but he's older than I am. He thought he was old enough to be my dad. I doubt it, and I don't think he is my dad. But he's very interesting and has a lot to say about a lot of things. And he informed me that I'm an alpha male, and I was so pleased to be informed of this that I went out and threw a dolly through Conor McGregor's bus in his honor. Okay, so what I've done is I've taken this interview, and I am going to let you hear it and, splice in a few comments here and there along the way. And let's see how it goes. All right, Mr. T, you ready with that? Roll the tape. So, Mr. Peterson, I've got a question. I'm the resident boomer on this panel, but I think you're a few years senior to me.
I'm old enough to be your father, your grandfather.
Not that bad, but
I'm older than dirt.
So when I was a kid, I went to one of the first desegregated schools in my area, and so at the time, I had lots and lots of. For a while, it was primarily black school, and I went, and my classmates back then in the '60s, they had mothers and fathers. The blacks, yeah. And the whites, everybody had mothers and fathers. You could say mommy and daddy, and it applied to pretty much everyone.
Yes.
And nowadays, of course, single motherhood has been kind of put on a pedestal as some sort of virtue. Now, if you look at the culture, they say, at least the pop culture, you look back at the 30s, you know, whether it was Nancy Drew or like Shirley Temple in movies, often for plot reasons, they wanted the kid to be, an orphan or only have one parent. But it was always because the other parent had died.
Right.
And even in the 1960s, and by the 1960s, you had things were changing a lot. But if you think of My Three Sons or Family Affair, some of these sitcoms, maybe you remember where they'd have it was always that the parent had died. It wasn't even divorce, and it certainly wasn't never got married in the first place.
Yeah.
Now, looking back at statistics, we know that illegitimate birth it became common in the black community before the white community, but now it's going full force everywhere in America. So my question is, in the overall pop culture, it wasn't probably until the 70s that divorce was more or less normalized, and then, or 60s maybe, but then single parenthood without ever being married, that's more recent. But in the black community, because I remember going to school and I was thinking, everybody on TV is white back then. So I wonder if the black kids, when they go home, they see black people on TV. Well, I guess they didn't. But the question is, in the black community, when was it that single motherhood, without ever being married, was c- considered to be, you know, not just normal, but it's even like these, the women who have children out of birth, they're single mothers and they're to be put on a pedestal. What do you think of that?
That started in the 60s, I believe, late 60s or maybe even early 60s. But when the civil rights movement started and then they brought in the government, they said to black people under Lyndon B. Johnson, Democrats, which were the Democratic Party then, and it's the Democratic Party now, they said to black people, we're going to help you out. We're going to give you, you've been discriminated against, you racist, the white people against you, we're going to give you something. So we're going to give you welfare, but you can't have it unless you get the man out of the house. No fathers are allowed.
Paid for families with dependent children.
Yes.
And a man couldn't be there.
That's when it went to hell in a handbasket, because at that point, the government became the daddy of the people, and the so-called black civil rights leaders, whatever they want to call themselves, became the head of the people. They started thinking for the people, telling them when to and when not to. They started pushing this idea of racism. They started telling black people there's no shame in having babies out of wedlock. As a matter of fact, the more babies you had out of wedlock, the more money you made. And so there are women, black women, who started deliberately getting pregnant in order to get more money from the government. I have friends who were dating different girls that would call them up. Hey, I want to get with you. Let's make a baby. Only to get the money. And that's when that whole deal started. Before that, black Americans had a sense of pride, because they wanted to work for themselves and fend for themselves and not rely on anyone. So they thought for themselves, they did for themselves. I had never heard of welfare until I moved up to Indiana. I went up to Indiana for a while, and that's when I discovered that black people were on something called welfare. And the men were hiding out, or the black women were not getting married. And as you know, when you start to take care of someone, the minute you give them something free, you own them. And so the Democratic Party started to own black people way back then, and even today, and they're even worse off today than any other time in the history of America. Prior to the Democrats giving black people free stuff, most black people were Republicans. As a matter of fact, I didn't even know Democrats when I was growing up. I only knew Republicans. And it wasn't until the Civil Rights Movement started, even with Martin Luther King Jr., they convinced him to become a Democrat. And so that's when that whole breakdown of the family started. And they knew that if they could get rid of the man, it would be easy to deceive and control the women and children. And mm-hmm. That's what's happening today.
So I sometimes say in the course of the civil rights movement, blacks traded a father in the house for Barack Obama in the White House. And yes, that's sir. Not a good deal. Is that a fair assessment?
Absolutely. It's a perfect one. And Obama, as you know, is the worst, and he's going down in history as the worst, most hated, weak, beta male, first feminist president. He calls himself the first feminist president that we have ever had in this country. And I tried to warn the people, do not vote for this man. He is the worst of the worst of the worst. I call him the Father Messiah, because the black was saying that he was sent by God. And I'm like, no, God didn't send this one. And they would call him that. So when he failed, I call him the Father Messiah. And I call Michelle Obama Big Mama Michelle, because Big Mama wanted people, she wanted to control the people, tell them what to eat, you know, what to feed their children. And she tried to pass laws to make them feed them whatever she wanted them to have, while she and her family were picking out on ribs and chicken and tamales and things like that. Obama was the worst of the worst. In the good old days, when boys were boys and men were men, they would have never voted for a person like Barack Obama. Matter of fact, Obama would have never ran for president had men still been men and boys were boys.
If you don't mind, I'd like to jump in while we're on this whole music industry.
Yes.
And, you know, musicians themselves, in pretty much any culture, musicians themselves are often in a fallen state of their own. They often have with drugs and whatnot for whatever reason. I'm not actually sure. But if you look at, we could look at music, the music industry in America in general, but specifically in the black music industry, there's really been a big change in tone. You know, if you think of soul music in the 60s, Curtis Mayfield and Marvin Gaye, first of all, the music was good, you know, in terms of melody and harmony and everything. It was good music. But the tone, like the lyrics, you know, they were trying to express some both maybe frustrations, but also hope. And then, you know, in the 80s, it's changing. You have the rap, and it wasn't as melodic and everything. But the early rap, if you're talking about Curtis Blow or Public Enemy, it was still kind of, I don't know, maybe a more of an intellectual discourse.
Yes.
But it's really, really degenerated. And Nicki Minaj, for instance, is somebody, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with her.
I know who she is, yes.
Well, I'm sorry. I mean, she's
gross, by the way.
Okay, I'm just going to interject right here. I want everybody to take note that Jesse Lee Peterson is on the record as having said that Nicki Minaj is gross. Now, listen to that one more time. Well, I'm sorry. I mean, she's
gross, by the way.
And I think she and a lot of other people like her, if you do an analysis of their lyrics, I mean, it's so much obscenity and so much N-word and of course, you know, singing, the themes of the songs are about exchanging sex for drugs and whatnot. And it's really degenerate. And I brought a particular Nicki Minaj song to the attention of David Duke, and David Duke talked about it on his radio show, and this is about 4 years ago or so, and was immediately attacked by the entire, like, Newsweek and the entire media, everybody, except, oddly enough, the person who came to David Duke's defense was Richard Griffin, a.k.a. Professor Griff of Public Enemy, who was saying, well, David Duke is 1,000% right. Which kind of surprised me, but it shows how far and how fast things have gone.
And
one last thing, Michael Jackson, you know, he's somebody who was popular when I was growing up, the Jackson 5. He had a song called They Don't Really Care About Us. And in the lyrics, you know, he had Jew me, screw me, kick me, kike me. They were in the lyrics. And you've had him and others who have come out and talked about, you know, specifically because the music industry has been dominated by largely by Jews since the vaudeville days, going way back before even records, you know, music publishing, even the sheet music. And Michael Jackson and others have really talked about the way they feel they're exploited. And some rappers have said that they've been pushed to be more anti-police or more pro-violence by their producers. What do you think of, do you have any thoughts about the role of, you know, the Jews in the record industry and what kind of influence they have on music for blacks?
When I was growing up, I listened to the soul music, you know, it was really nice and fun. The men and women who performed the music at that time, they were decent people. You didn't see them, even if they had problems, the problems were hidden away because of shame. They didn't, like, promote it. And during those days, most of the entertainers, they had fathers and mothers together in their homes. And so they showed a sense of respect. This woman, Nicki, what's her name? Nicki Minaj. If you notice, I don't know if you're paying attention or not, but if you notice, women imitate men. And if men are weak, women will become weak, and they start carrying it out. They try to take credit for it, but they really do what men do. And back in the good old days, black men were strong men. You know, they were alpha males and not beta. And so the women wouldn't be acting that way and cursing like that and carrying out those things because the men would not tolerate it. And so the wives would not tolerate it. That meant the kids were not going to tolerate it. But when they broke up the family, all of a sudden, these women come out of the woodwork. They start taking over, call themselves taking over, and they are imitating men. They become preachers like men. They become rappers like men. Except that the men are so perverted, so weak, so beta. And so those women like Nikki and others are imitating men. They want to be like the rappers. They want to act like they're independent. And so that's why you're seeing that now. And even whether it's the Jews or black writers and producers, they're all in that, most of them are in that fallen state that write this kind of stuff. And so you can expect to see that happening. And the people who are to blame for it are the adults who are carrying them out. No one is to blame for the way black people act today, but black people. You can't blame it on the whites. You can't blame it on the Mexicans. You can't blame it on the Jews, because as an adult, we are responsible for our own life. It's my responsibility to see that I'm wrong and to repent, apologize, repent, and God will take hold of my life again. But if I stay in that fallen state and refuse to admit that I'm wrong, then the world will control you. That's what they're supposed to do. They suck life out of each other.
So when you talk about the fallen state, when you talk about, say, the man having become weak, so in rap you had men who were singing about, you know, conquering all these women, about their promiscuity and about drugs and violence. And then so women like Nicki Minaj or Beyonce start talking about their own conquests of men.
Yes.
And
yes.
That would have been slut. So Beyonce, in a song that she sang at the Super Bowl halftime show about 3 years ago,
yeah,
she sang the whole song, but it had a line in it. They had a line, when he F me right, I take his ass to Red Lobster.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry, Mark, for having to repeat these things on your show, because I know you have standards. But this was like the big award-winning song.
You would never have heard of that when I was growing up, because there was a respect amongst black people. And so the children would not have ever made that kind of music, because they know, first of all, the parents would not tolerate it. The adults and would not allow their children to buy or listen to it at all. But now that the men are weak, there are no values, they can get away with that kind of stuff. And Beyonce and all those people who are making that kind of music, they are imitating the black rappers and others. And so, and then the world, white people are not going to stop them because they're afraid of being called racist. So they play that kind of crap on TV, on radio, whatever you get played, because they're afraid to be called racist. I do want to add that you're going to see, and you're seeing more and more beta white men and then out of control white women, because white men are afraid too. And they're blaming the Jews. I can always tell a beta white man when I see one right away, because they use blame in their language. Real men don't blame anyone for their weakness. They overcome it. They see the cause, which starts in the home, and they overcome it. But beta males, they're always blaming and whining, and they never look at, well, why did this happen? How can I change it? And so that's what happened to black people. That's why white women are blaming now too, because they hear their men blaming, and they need men to be strong, because they have to rely on men. Otherwise, they have to do the best that they can do. But the blame game has to stop, especially from men.
Okay, so we're breaking away from this interesting interview, and we will get right back to it after the break.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back to the show. So I'm continuing with this very interesting interview with Jesse Lee Peterson, recorded some weeks ago. Well, and I just want to clarify. So, you know, when you hear a rapper and he's talking about gang banging and all of this, you consider that beta act, right?
Yeah, 100% beta act, because a real man, alpha male, would never do that. He has a sense of righteousness about him. He loved God with all his heart, soul, and might, along with nothing else. He knows that he is the son of God, and that the light of God is shining through him, that the world might see the right way to go. And he would never, ever do things like that, because that's of darkness, and the darkness cannot handle the light. And So he would never rap that kind of stuff, so-called rap music, because he knows it's going to deceive men, women, and children, young and old. And he couldn't do that, because the light of God is working through him. But if he's in a fallen state, you will see that and hear that, and the others will help to promote that, those who are in a fallen state.
Yeah, and I'm sorry to be talking so much, but I wanted to say that I see in the United States and in other countries, there is a tribally dominated elite, which people can guess who I'm talking about, that has really repressed the ability to speak openly. And so personally, I try to clarify and make people understand, and I try to speak openly. And that does include saying who is doing what. If you want to call that blame, well, whatever. I don't know if it's really blaming, but I think we have to understand in order so we can stand up for ourselves. So,
well, you can't stand up to yourself if you blame someone for yourself. If you blame someone, it's okay to point evil out, because men and women of God have a responsibility to shine the light on evil. But you're not shining on evil to blame them for your fall, because in all honesty, the reason for your fall is your father and mother. If you had a beta father and a angry mother, or both were angry, they are the reason that you fell away from God, that you fell away from innocent, that you fell away from love. And then as you grow up and go out into the world, you're entering into a world that's in a fallen state, and they're going to do what they do. They're going to use beta people, especially beta male. But I guarantee you, had not you been raised by beta male and beta mother, you would never, there's no one on earth that can stop you from speaking up. You would not be afraid to speak up. You would never stop to speaking up. You would be willing to die for the truth. But if you're in a fallen state, then yes, people can stop you from speaking up because you have fear. Perfect love casts out fear. Had your father and mother never let you down, you would have never known fear, because you are not known angry. And when you go out into the world, you would not be afraid to speak up or do what you need to do. Only people in a fallen state are afraid to speak up. And the children of the lie control that because they know you have fear. But you can't stop a man who is an alpha male, because he has no fear. He has no anger. He's not an emotional person. He doesn't think like a woman. His mind is renewed as his father in heaven mind is. It's logical and perfect love.
Well, thank you very much for that. I'm really enjoying this, but I'll stop dominating the questioning. Okay, next there was an interesting question from Jason of No White Guilt. So I'm going to play that question and Mr. Peterson's response to it.
Right, that's sage advice. Are there any markers that you might have noticed in the past that you could share with young men about the wrong women? So that a woman that finds you, a woman that comes to you, certainly there might be a marker there that would be worrisome.
Yes, that's a good question. One that hates her father, and she doesn't love her father, she's not going to love you. She hates all men. A woman that will have sex with you before marriage, because women are into sex. They're the sex dealers, and men are sex addicts. And women use sex in order to draw men in and control them, kill the children, whatever. One that has anger. Never date or marry a woman that has anger. It's going nowhere. Unless while you're dating, she's willing to overcome it. Go and forgive her mother. Return to her father. That might work out. But there are so many signs. A real woman would not have sex with a man before marriage. A real man would not have sex with a woman before marriage. They would love their father and love their mother too, meaning they are not angry at their parents. They speak up, they deal with them, but they're not angry at them. And then those are the signs. I would never marry an angry woman, because if she hate her father, she hate all men, and she'll destroy you and your children.
Well, you know, I really like that insight you have about women being sex dealers and men being sex addicts. You know, the ban on premarital sex, I would have been very angry to hear that 40 years ago, but you know, as every year goes by, it starts to make a little bit more sense.
Yes.
Okay. Well, there is more interview to come, so just stay tuned, and we're going to come back to this interview right after the break. So we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, A visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Welcome back to the show. So, Mr. Peterson continued to pontificate on the problems with premarital sex. Let's take a listen to that.
Because when you have sex with a woman before marriage, you don't know what you're getting into. You can't see what you're getting into because sex addicts you to her. Now you wake up emotionally. You feel like you got to have her. You think sex is love, and sex is not love, not at all. And a woman knows that, but they'll use it for the addict in order to control you. That's why when men do either live with these women or date them for a while and get married to them, after a while the sex get old and they want to go out and get a new excitement. They need more drugs, new drugs to make them feel excited. And so they go out and start cheating on the woman because their ego needs to be made excited. And so that's why it's best to wait until you get married so you can see what you're getting into. And after you date for about 7 years, you will get to know her and she will get to know you. And you may discover that you don't like each other. It's not meant for each other. And then you'll be able to walk away from it. But if you don't, then you'll end up marrying the wrong person and it would never work out. I do want to say to the question about the ego of Black people and their rap music, the pride that they have into it. That's all pride. Black people in a fallen state, but most Black people don't believe in God. They go to church, they sing about him and dance and hoop and holler, but their hearts are far away from him. They believe in Satan. And so they take pride in that music because they hate white people and they are trying to make themselves feel that they are better than whites. And so they pretend to be loving that music when they really don't. They're unhappy people. It's a false pride that you see. It's not the real deal.
Okay. So that was interesting. My next line of questioning was regarding Mr. Peterson's vision for a possible future of the United States with black and white people and how they may relate to each other in the future.
Well, that was a very, very good answer. Patrick has another question for you. He's been itching to ask it, and I can see him hovering over the mute button. So go ahead, Patrick.
Okay. Mr. Peterson, you talked about the situation in the black community having gotten worse. It was better in Jim Crow, but in these civil rights era policies of forced integration, affirmative action, the welfare state, victimization philosophy, or whatever you want to call it, that this has led the black community to a fallen state. Now, I don't suppose you necessarily want to go back to the Jim Crow situation, and I don't think we even could. But what vision do you have for a United States where, that serves the needs of both blacks and whites? What kind of society would you like to see develop?
I would like to see men, all men, return to their natural state of order. Men, never mind the color, represent God on earth. They are sons of God. Even the weak ones, they may be weak examples, but that's what they are. And when they love the Father, God, love the earthly Father and God, they return to their natural state. And then through them, love will be created. The only purpose, the primary purpose on earth for men and women, but especially for men, is so that God can create love through them. And love conquers all. And so if men return to their natural state of being, then love of God will work through them, and that will bring the men and women together, and they will raise good children. And then our country will become a peaceful country again. We may have some disagreements, but we're not going to be hating one another. We're not going to be blaming one another. We're not going to be trying to destroy one another. But we need to restore men to their natural state of being so that we can bring love back into this country in the way that it was when it was founded. This country was founded by great men, men who loved what was right, who created the greatest country on this side of heaven. And so I just want men to return, because once they wake up, they can bring their women and children to order, and we could have peace on earth.
Well, and how about like some specific things, like in so many school districts in America, you've got busing where they purposely busing people from one neighborhood to another in order to integrate the schools. What do you think of that?
That's a good point. I have never been in support of forced integration. I've never been in support of busing black children to white schools or white children to black schools. And the reason that the blacks are doing that is because they don't know how to teach their own children anymore. They'd rather leave it separate like that so they can blame the white folks for their own failure. When I was growing up, I went to an all-black school, and I was quite satisfied with that. Even though the Jim Crow law was there, it wasn't a problem. I was happy with that. And I still didn't think that all white people hated me because of my color. We shouldn't have one big mistake that the so-called civil rights movement made. I now think it was intentional. Even during those days, when they were protesting and carrying on, you saw black people forcing their ways into private white businesses. Even then, I thought that was wrong. You can't impose yourself upon other people. And white people, those who started their own businesses and then get support from the government, that meant that your tax dollars wasn't going toward that business. They had a right to have whomever they want in there. Likewise with the schools, especially these private schools. You don't have a right to impose yourself on someone else's school or neighborhood. Forced love is not real love. You can't force someone to love you. It has to happen naturally. So that would not be happening if we had men and women together and the fathers leading the way. You wouldn't have busing and all that stuff going on.
Okay, so that was an interesting question. We're breaking away from the interview for a second. I'm filling in with my comments, and I think it's clear that somebody like Jesse Lee Peterson is reasonable and an independent thinker, and he's the type of person that we can certainly have a very constructive dialogue with. So then I went on to the next line of questioning, which was, how many people think like him? Because if it's just him, we can have a productive dialogue, but, you know, what difference does it make? But is there going to be a prospect for many other people who share his point of view? Let's listen to that.
These super chats.
Oh, okay, well, I'll ask a quick one then. I have a friend who, Jesse, who's about your age. He's a black guy. He's from Augusta, GA. And he grew up in a rural household, and he has very similar attitudes towards you, as you. He has pretty much the same outlook, and he's driven a truck all his life, and he's taken care of his family.
Yeah.
So a question is, among people of black men of your age from the rural South, how common is the kind of attitude that you have?
It's common. It's commonplace. You may hear some that have fallen for the lie around my age or so, or older, who have fallen for the lie. But for the most part, most black people my age and a little older would agree with me. They're like sickened at the way that most black people live today and how they blame others and how they're having these babies out of wedlock and abortion. And they don't even clean up their own communities. They allow their children to run around like, you know, just no common sense kids, killing each other, killing white people and all kind of stuff. They're like just thrown off. They don't know what to do. And a lot of blacks are afraid of other blacks. They're afraid of the young blacks, especially. So, but most blacks my age would agree with me.
Okay. Back to the commentary. I think that's all very interesting. I certainly would like to know if black men from the rural South of Jesse Peterson's generation, to what extent they agree with him. The next question I got to ask was regarding the religion that's preached in the black church. And let's take a listen.
That would be superb. Well, I know Patrick's been itching to ask you so many questions tonight, so let's give him another chance. Patrick, here's another crack of the whip.
Okay, this is kind of a follow-up to the religious questions. So I have a friend, a black friend, who's invited me to his church a few times over the years, and it's not particularly anti-white, not at all, actually, but in this particular church, what struck me was during the service, they'll have people bear witness, and people stand up, and they'll talk about, you know, they accepted God, and God gave them a car or a house or a nice job, and I don't know how prevalent that is, but, you know, in an era, if you're going to equate material stuff and bling with God's love, and, you know, look, then why wouldn't the rappers and the athletes and the movie stars be your role model? So how prevalent is this?
That is very prevalent in the black community. And I have to tell you, it's not a sign of being born again. They have been told that, oh, God would give you money, he would give you a house, he would give you a job, he would give you this or that. That's not a sign of being born again. To be born again is to be free of anger, not material things. Material things are not an indication that God is with you. When you have perfect love, when you have no anger in your heart, no resentment at all, you speak up but don't hate, that's the sign. And then when challenges come and you overcome them, that's a sign of being born again of God. But the preachers have lied to the people. The preachers have made them believe that material things are a sign of God being in your life. God is with us, but that's not a sign of it. He will do those things for your children, but you got to love him with all your heart, soul, and might, and your neighbor as yourself, meaning don't hate. That's the sign of God being in your life. And that's what the rappers and others, that's what they are taking on. You're right about that. They see the Christians doing it, so they're doing it too. Because it's not real. It's a lie. It's a made-up lie. Because the preachers are intellectuals, and they have no idea what they're talking about. They go and they learn the Bible. They read the Bible. Then they build a church or go into a church building and start throwing that back on you, pretending that it's from God, and it's not. God speaks from your heart. As I've said over and over again, the Bible is not the word of God. The Bible is the word from God. The word of God is in our heart. The word made flesh, right? When you are son of God, you are led by the truth in your heart, as you were as a kid before you were traumatized. So those men and women, unfortunately, have not been born again of God, but they have been deceived to believe that it's a sign of being born again, and it's not.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that. That's all the Jesse Lee Peterson I have for you. If you want to hear more of that, Jesse Lee Peterson, from that broadcast, not the answers to my specific questions, but the overall discussion, you can go to Mark Collett's YouTube channel. Yeah, look for the show from February 13th of this year. I think it was a lot of fun. And so here's the thing. We're in a society right now that is where there's a lot of racial and ethnic conflict, but more than just the conflict per se. We're in a situation where white people are the beating horse, we're the horse that everybody's allowed to beat. The whipping horse, I guess that's what it is. Everybody can say bad things about whites, and we're facing all of this discrimination. We're not allowed to talk back. We're not allowed to stand up for ourselves, fight back, anything like that. Any time that we say anything in our defense, we're branded white supremacists, and there's legislation in the works to make that illegal. As a response to that, in reaction to that, those few people who are willing to stand up and say things often have what would the term for it be? I don't know. But they develop harsh attitudes. I think you have to develop a pretty harsh attitude before you're willing to speak out. So the voices that you hear speaking out in response to the oppression that whites are under tend to have already developed very harsh attitudes. And I think, there's a problem with that. It's very understandable. Now, the thing is, regarding black people, there are recent black immigrants from Africa and from the Caribbean, but the descendants of black slaves have been here for generations, many, many generations, wouldn't know how to trace, even if they could, it doesn't matter whether they know how to or not, but tracing back their lineage to wherever they came from in Africa. No, I mean, they are very, very much black Americans. And, what we may think of the white plantation owners who purchased black slaves from slave traders who were largely Jewish, there tends to be some glorification of them. Oh, they're honorable people and this and that. But whatever. At any rate, they imported. They didn't go to Africa and chase these people down and bring them here in chains. It wasn't the plantation owners, but they did. You could say they imported them because they were the end customers, and they brought them here. They didn't bring them here, but they purchased them from those who brought them here. The blacks are as American. I mean, they are as native to. Let's just put it this way: they are as native to this country as whites are, and of course a lot of whites are even of more recent immigrant stock. So we do have to learn either how to live together somehow, and right now nobody seems to be satisfied. I think the blacks actually have a much better end of the deal than the whites do, but they don't even seem to be satisfied. Of course, they're being riled up in various ways by the Jews who tend to dominate society, but you know, we've got an unbearable situation between the discrimination and the violence and the sexual predation and crime and all of this. We need to either, you know, work out some way to live in the same society, or a way to separate the societies, which would be difficult. In either way, it would be certainly better to, I mean, yeah, it could go down to a civil war and all that. That's the worst outcome, the worst scenario. It would be best to have people who that you could really start having a dialogue with, and people who are adopting Jesse Lee Peterson's narrative would be the right type to have a dialogue with. I'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news?
Welcome back to the show. Well, when you get down to it, white people in this country still form a majority, and it was our people who created a society that others from around the world want to come and live in. And, you know, we should take credit for that. And why is it that we are not the group that would be taking leadership moving forward? Right now, the country is dominated by a tiny elite that's dominated by this tiny Jewish minority, and they've been enlisting various non-white groups, as well as, you know, the cat lady white people, in a coalition that at its core is very anti-white. That's even Ann Coulter said this a couple of years ago, that all that holds together the Democratic coalition is hostility towards white men. And this is true. So we should be able to take back our society. Now, does that mean being mean to everybody else? Does that mean expelling everybody else? It shouldn't. Of course, if things get so bad that, you know, we're going through extra constitutional means, if it gets so bad that, you know, I'm not proposing anything. I'm just looking at similar developments in the Soviet Union / early post-Soviet Russia. And you did have not a big civil war, but you had military strife. You had political violence on the peripheries, not so much in Russia per se, but certainly you did in Chechnya. And certainly you've had a civil war going on. It's low level, but going on in Ukraine. And you had in the 1990s, you had the political violence right around there, the Ukrainian, Moldovan border region. You had a lot of it. So you could have similar or more violence here. It's not good. We don't want that. But we should be able to take control of the society, to guide it into the future. The black people need to ask themselves, do we want to be part of this Jewish-led coalition that is actively trying to destroy the very whites, the very white race that created the society that so many people want to live in? Are we going to be better off that way? Or are we going to be better off finding some sort of accommodation with the white population that is going to, you know, preserve a society in which anybody, blacks, of course, if they're thinking for themselves, that they would want to live in? Because the future they're moving towards under this Jewish tutelage, Jesse Peterson makes it clear, things are worse now than they were under Jim Crow in many, many ways. And, you know, in terms of in crime, okay, so if you get, a small number of black men get to have white wives, and so a small number of black women get to have jobs that they're not really qualified for and they're overpaid for, but the bulk of the blacks grow up without fathers, with drugs, with crime. It's really not a good deal for them. So I think I'm glad to have had this chance to discuss these things with Jesse Lee Peterson, and hopefully we'll get other opportunities in the future. All right, I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Public Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.